Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Having a conversation about the Kings and how they stunk last night. But tomorrow is another day. Mm-hmm. And I think that they will return to the greatness that we've seen. Mm. Okay, taking down a more than they were fully loaded Suns team. You'll have KD and Devin Booker. And again, okay, tell them what they've won, Johnny. They didn't have to deal with Jason Tatum. They had Porzingis, who was supposed to be the next version of Kevin Durant. Yeah. So you got Kevin Durant. And what's Devin Booker go? Isn't he a shady 6'7", or is he 6'5"?
I'd probably say anywhere between there, yeah.
So he's not a smaller guard at all.
No.
So you have two guys. Let's talk about the matchups for a second.
Sure.
I mean, the Kevin Durant thing, and it is similar with Porzingis. Let's not overreact here. There's a reason the Knicks took Porzingis as high as they did all those years ago. There's nobody, if you're rolling like that, there really isn't anybody, unless they're guarding each other. There's not the Chet Holmgrens of the world.
Yeah.
There really isn't anybody that can guard Porzingis if he's rolling like that, or Kevin Durant.
No, yeah. I mean, that's where they're really similar is just like you said, like the way they shoot the ball, their form especially, you can't really deter it. Like the way that. How high up they are. I mean, they're both legit 7-footers, and then you throw on the fact that they have a nasty jump shot. Not many people can contest it, and even if you are, like we talked about earlier, you're tall enough to contest it like a JaVale McGee. Well, you know, though Porzingis is by no means any track star, he can still get around your JaVale McGees of the world and things like that, and it's what makes him an impossible matchup. But KD is... I mean, you know, KD is clearly at a different level than Porzingis, but that's what makes KD, you know, an all-time top 10, 15 player of all time is the fact that you have that size, you have that shooting ability, and you also have speed with KD. Like, he can put the ball on the deck, and he's skinny enough to where, he's not lugging around a ton of weight, so he's pretty mobile for a guy who's as tall and long as he is.
Well, and then you have... you know, everything that comes with that, because after you have to guard KD or you send help, now everything is out of whack, and that's what we saw a little bit. Not that it didn't even really feel like the Kings were sending two at Porzingis There were just a lot of subtle switches that...
Mm-hmm. I mean, Boston took advantage of it.
They took advantage of it.
They hunted mismatches.
We know one thing we haven't talked about, that Jalen Brown dunk.
Oh, my
Chris, I almost
gosh.
Left.
How about the attempted one, too? Where
right after.
Yeah, JaVale thankfully got a piece of it. But.
Right after.
Yeah.
I almost left when he dunked. When he, three people?
Yeah. Nasty.
Yeah.
It was bad.
That's one of those where, like, you're trying to send people home after that. That's one of those where you can just look at the crowd and you can hit a bye-bye.
Yeah.
Because that's gonna get people out of their seats and heading towards the exits.
It was bad,
That's
man.
Demoralizing. That's when that's the nail in the coffin. That's the Trae Young bow moment. Like it was over at that point. You snatched the soul out of the body and lifted it up at center court and said, "How do you like me now?"
Yeah. So it was just a rough go for the Kings, but we do believe that they will get back on track. Been a bit of a rough week for writers and media members, and this is just a cautionary tale to not do too much. And as Simone discussed earlier in the show, we were talking about De'Aaron Fox. Did he or did he not wear a Taylor Swift shirt?
Right.
There's just a lot of information out there.
And or you got misinformation.
Yes, misinformation. You got to fact check, and you got to fact check again. There was a chart floating around, and the chart that was floating around, and it had to do with Brock Purdy, and this was actually from last year. It had come up a couple different times, and there was a chart floating around that said Brock Purdy and Lamar Jackson had the same 10-yard split.
Mm-hmm.
And basically a 10-yard split is running 10 yards, your burst.
Yeah, yeah. They do the 40-yard dash, but how quick are you in that first initial 10 yards?
Exactly. So there's a whole chart as if this thing is the real deal.
Of course.
And there are specific numbers, Purdy's 10-yard split, 1.55. Lamar Jackson's 10-yard split, 1.54. And honestly, I'm going to say this with a caveat, just based on the person who posted it deleted it, and it came from Niners Reddit. So I honestly, because of that, and Mina Kimes actually hopped in on it as well, we believe that it's not true, and it's been talked about for over a year. Apparently, a this burst time. That Brock has. Apparently, Lamar never took that 10-yard test. Mm-hmm. So there is no number for Lamar. It was all made up. And I say this because
it sounded made up.
But Brock is quick.
He is. He sure is.
It was said by somebody reputable in the industry. It was pushed by this person. And there hasn't really been any backtracking, just the deletion of that initial tweet after it's been going on for years. Mina Kimes, like I said, even had something to say about it. And it's just a cautionary tale to everybody out there about doing your homework and just taking the W's that you need. I do think there's something to be said about why take it to the next level. Sometimes, and I know you just left Vegas, Chris, sometimes you just got to leave when the table's hot, okay?
It's hard to do, though.
It's hard to do, but when you got W after W after W, sometimes you try to put that cherry on top and you look down and half your chips are gone. Mm-hmm. And this person will be fine, went on, deleted it, didn't even mention it, and it's just tweeting now about the Niners as if nothing ever happened. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people are thinking, dude, That's kind of a big deal because you've been pushing this for over a year. I don't know. Maybe the numbers are real, but the graph was fake. I have no clue. It seems like everything came from Reddit and it wasn't true. And it's just whether it's your real life, whether you're covering sports, sometimes you don't need to have it all. You don't need to have it all. This guy is about to win MVP. The Niners are Super Bowl favorites.
Yeah.
But it's not enough.
No.
You have to basically
Know exactly how right I am about this or how exactly. You don't need to keep hammering the point home.
And I'm trying to find where it initiated from. There was a comparison for Brock Purdy, and somebody said, a former quarterback said that Brock Purdy is a combination of Drew Brees with more athleticism, which can be sure. I don't have a problem with that at all. Then it went left. It went so left to where now you have to throw in a Lamar Jackson. You have to create a player.
Yeah.
He's balling, and you got burned because it just wasn't enough.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely noticed it. There's a ton of just unnecessary. Like it's like you said, like it's so much of just deep analytics. It's the we talk about it all the time, the EPA per plays, and on Thursdays where the weather is above 68 degrees, but the wind is under 25 miles an hour, and it's like, all right, like at some point, we've talked about it before too. At the end of the day, with these tweets about specific stats, it seems like there's too much of, hey, here's this stat I'm putting out into the universe. Do with it whatever you want. And again, not enough of, okay, but what are you trying to say with this stat? Now, even if you feel like it's obvious in what you're trying to point out, What is the point that you are trying to make by putting out Brock Purdy having the most, well, just use a stat, yards per attempt. If I'm putting out the yards per attempt list, Brock Purdy's number one with a bullet, well, then I'm going to also say this shows that even though people say Brock's checking down all the time, clearly, he's throwing down the field more than anybody. Give some context to what you're saying, especially if you're going to try and be a reporter at an incredibly high level. Because, again, that's what we're following you for. Like we were talking about with Zach Harper yesterday, even if your point might be right that you're trying to make, we're looking to you for like a different level of analysis. Some of you people out there, we're looking at you for a different level of analysis. Give it. Don't just give. Anybody can go on Google or go on basketball, football, whatever reference page you want to go to and find some numbers, we're following you on Twitter, or we're paying for your premium service to get some sort of different level of insight. Mm-hmm. Can you provide that?
Right, right. And, you know, nobody is immune to this these days. Bleacher Report came out and said that Brock Purdy was second in passing yards.
Yeah, so there's like last a miscommunication.
In passing attempts, yeah. Where he's not high. I think he's actually 25th or 26th, something like that. But they had him dead last or second to dead last when that wasn't true.
Yeah, and that was just like a game of telephone almost, where the stat isn't, it's wrong, but it's not, the spirit of it isn't wrong. What they meant to say and what ended up getting lost through the tons of aggregation of it was, so Brock is whatever, the first in yards, whatever, but 32nd as a team, the 49ers are 32nd in pass attempts. And it got translated to Brock Purdy is 32nd in pass attempts when, you know, that's just not true because, you know, Brock's going to have more pass attempts than Kirk Cousins, who got hurt in week 10. But since Brock is playing a full schedule, he's going to jump Kirk. And so, you know, yeah, it's numbers like that too, where you get
too many numbers.
It's just too
many,
too much aggregation as well. And
yeah,
it's like I said, it's like a game of telephone where sometimes when things get aggregated so many times, well, some small pieces of information might get lost, but those small pieces of information could be, you know, the like it could completely blow up the stat if you get it wrong.
Yeah, and, you know, I think a lot of it is great. I think a lot of it is overdone, and it's only going to get worse with AI and everything like that. The deep dives are going to get even deeper.
Yeah, once we really start trusting computers, that's over.
Yes, from the Sack Chat, Scooter916, Styles, that was something that Kyle wanted in a QB. He said something to the effect that he wanted a cross between Breeze with Lamar, athleticism. Oh, no, I know.
Don't we all?
I think a lot of people want something like that, so that was that writer trying to say this is what he got
I
in
want
Brock.
Peyton Manning with Michael Vick.
Right. No, I would like that too. I think that was that writer saying, hey,
he is that.
We have that now in Brock Purdy, and it got debunked. And hey, that's the thing about, like I said, he's tweeting like nothing ever happened. It's a, what was the news cycle back in the day? The news cycle now is every, I don't know, 5 minutes, something like that. Like so. It gets forgotten, and the Niners are going to win this weekend or on Christmas, Monday Night Football, and everything is everything. That's just how it'll go. All right, got to get to a break when we get back. Speaking of quarterbacks, one quarterback who used to be in the Bay and is now in Vegas, maybe looking for another job. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
The 49ers have secured their playoff berth, and now they chase the NFC's top seed.
Purdy out of the shotgun, looks left, throws end zone. Caught! George Kittle in the back of the end zone. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Check out all the 49ers games with Greg Papa and Tim Ryan.
On your home for the playoff-bound 49ers. Sacktown Sports and SacktownSports.com.
Winter is coming. I know you know that, but are you prepared to keep your family warm all season long? At American Energy Heating and Air, their goal is to exceed your expectations of the heating and air industry by valuing the customer experience and making your home comfort system as efficient as possible for the most value. So book your $49 furnace tune-up and safety inspection today. Prevent dangerous gas leaks. Extend the life of that furnace and save on your energy bills. And here's the guarantee. This isn't a sales call. They're not getting in the door so they can try to sell you a bunch of stuff. No, they're just going to do what they say they're going to do. Call today to schedule an appointment at 916-520-9990 or go to AmericanEnergyAir.com. Been serving the greater Sacramento area since 1981. A+. Better Business Bureau rating. Get your $49 furnace tune-up and safety inspection today. 916-520-9990. American Energy, making the uncomfortable comfortable.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m., 45 more minutes with you. We are on the Kevin O'Connor watch, I just checked my DMs again. Still says sent.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to change.
Doesn't say seen yet. It says seen on Twitter.
Something about
red.
those ringer boys. They like to, like to set things on fire and then run away.
You don't think he could accidentally have clicked on it? You think he saw it come through and just... Nah.
I bet especially after marinate. That, his DMs are probably populated.
Yes, I was just going to say the same thing.
Yeah. By other Sacramento people?
Yeah, I think harassing him.
Yeah. Well,
not to say that you are, sure. But I'm just saying, yeah.
He's also probably figuring if his buddies Deuce and Mo are giving him shtick, you know. I'm sure he's not going to be super thrilled to
Well, the way I wrote it, I tried to make it seem like, hey...
Yeah. We just want to hear you out.
We just want to hear you out.
I feel like you can definitely filter, like, you know, you don't have to open the message to start seeing what the context is. You know
right.
what I
well,
mean?
He can,
like,
he can go to my profile and, well, I don't know, Simone.
I'm just saying you don't have to open the message and you can see that it would be red in that case. You don't have to open the message to start reading
no,
like,
yeah,
what it is.
You probably saw. Yeah. Midday host Sacramento and thought, I think I'm solid
player.
Here.
Yeah.
I think I'm cool off that.
He's got a platform.
And it seems like the Raiders are going to be cool off Jimmy G, expected to move off of Jimmy G this offseason.
Poor guy.
When you think, poor guy. Really?
The poorest
Jimmy G.
Guy.
I slept just so soundly this season.
Jimmy
as
G,
a 49ers
really,
fan.
He has a good
just
life.
Just a poor guy, man.
He has a good
he's
life.
Tough. He's got a tough, man.
So Jimmy G looks to be out of a job, still getting paid somehow, some way.
A lot of dollars.
And I have no clue what Jimmy G's market looks like now. Now, you can look at this a couple ways. You can look at this and say, think about all of the quarterbacks, specifically this season, that had to start at some point. And there's no way Jimmy G is that bad. But I don't know how that works, if the Raiders are going to have to eat that contract or pay off some of it. I don't know how that works if they're looking to move off of him. But when you see Jimmy G compared to the rest of the field and everybody that took a snap this season in the NFL, I mean, I don't think that yeah. he's done.
No, I mean, with Jimmy, it kind of does start to become the conversation, though, of is he a little bit too popular to be your backup? Because, you know, everybody, you know, there's the cliche of, you know, who's the most popular guy in town, the backup quarterback. And, you know, it's one of those where if he goes to a situation like, I don't know, let's just throw him in Tampa Bay with Baker Mayfield or something. Mm-hmm. If Baker has three or four, if he has a bad month, the problem is people are going to, you know, you could argue people are going to clamor for somebody else anyway, but, you know, the noise is just going to come up sooner and probably be louder when you have a guy who is, I don't know, whatever we want to call Jimmy, a bottom level starter quarterback, a high level backup. I just think those questions are always going to get raised when you have those guys. But, you know, also, I would also contest that it's a lot better to have two average or okay quarterbacks and have one bad and one terrible, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still in the camp of the Raiders seeing what's up with Kyler Murray. I know you're taking on another contract, but I don't think Aiden O'Connell is necessarily your guy moving forward. He's shown some flashes.
That'd
be
interesting, a Jimmy for Kyler, not straight up swap, but in terms of, like, you know, situation, like the Cardinals, maybe they're like, you know, like, you could definitely do worse than Jimmy, and it at least is a
but the Cardinals
solid
are going to get
presence, and they're trying to be bad. Yeah.
Well, right. So the So do you bring in Jimmy?
Pay him, because you're not going to be paying the rookie, right?
Right. Do you bring in Jimmy to maybe move on from?
He's a bridge quarterback, right? That's pretty much what he's been best at, is being that bridge between. I mean, whether
this was
it was
his
intentional
last shot
or not,
this
but,
was his last shot. Yeah. This is from Bill Barnwell, who dropped everything on Jimmy G. Barring a stunning turn of events, the Raiders will release Jimmy Garoppolo, who will end up making just over $35 million for six starts in a Raiders uniform.
It's almost $6 million a start, right?
And $11.3 million of that figure is in guaranteed bonus that comes due next season. Vegas will have nearly $29 million in dead money for Garoppolo spread over the next 2 years on its cap. That's what happens. That's what that happens when you listen to Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, and Dave Ziegler. I mean, those Patriot boys, I guess they were trying to make, you know, New England West, and didn't work out. Now the Raiders
are... New England
are,
West.
Yeah, they're definitely paying for it. That's, I mean, it's tough. I mean, and the funny thing is, I don't know, I don't think Raider fans find it funny, but maybe they do in a sick, ironic way, but the ironic thing is their defense was actually pretty good this year.
Really good.
And I can't remember the last time really it felt good. Like the Raiders' defense was their strong suit. And
Max is a problem.
He's a problem. I mean, yeah, and Spillane was fantastic this year. Like, I think it's kind of a shame because if the Raiders could have just gotten to, like, a mid-level of offense, it felt like they could have been a scrappy team, maybe hovered around 500. Like, Devontae Adams couldn't have been more... you know, wasted this season. Mm-hmm. Really, it felt like he was upset after every single game, rightfully so. And that offense never got going from, I mean, and you could argue from Jump Street, it's been a weird offensive season from Jimmy having questions of if he was even going to sign with the team because of his injury. And right. then Josh Jacobs having the holdout and, you know, people wondering, did he play himself into shape since he didn't, you know, really have a full training camp. It was just a really weird season, but again, it feels like a wasted season because there might have actually been something there for the Raiders to have, even if it was relative success. I think it could have been viewed as a semi-successful season for them, and yet it's just going to go as another wasted Raider season and maybe another wasted superstar that this team has. Like, they don't get them often, but you know, it seems like every time they do get one close, something always ends up happening to ruin it, whether it was the Antonio Brown situation, which was not the Raiders' fault, or this Devontae Adams situation. You know, you can go all the way back to Randy Moss back in the day. It just feels like things are never clicking things are never coming together at the right time for the Raiders.
Yeah, if you look at Devontae Adams, if you decide to hold on to him, and obviously Max Crosby, that's the Raiders saying, hey, we believe that we can do a quick turnaround, not a blow up entirely. I'm torn on Kyler Murray, not necessarily from a football standpoint on the field, but just we know he's had some leadership issues and things like that. And we've had these same conversations about the Kings, right? Yeah. And that leader. My question is, will a Devontae Adams and Max Crosby be tired or grow tired of a Kyler Murray, or are two guys like that exactly who Kyler Murray needs to get his act together and stay on the right track because he doesn't want to get chewed out by those guys?
Right.
So I'm stuck somewhere in the middle of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting. And yeah, there's no way of that's the risk of acquiring Kyler for any team, not just the Raiders. But I think the thing about the Raiders situation is they're desperate enough to take that risk. I mean, there's not a lot of football teams that like taking risk in general. The Raiders, funny enough, have always been a team that it feels like aren't afraid to take risks, period. But it also feels like they're at a point where they could really go either way. They could ship everybody off and just try and accumulate as many picks as possible. Or like you said, I think you could convince yourself that there's enough there that, you know, maybe a move like Kyler, because that dude is crazy talented.
Yeah.
You could argue that is something that at least pushes you even closer to being a semblance of a stable organization, a stable franchise. But of course, that's a risky proposition, too, because let's not forget Kyler is a guy who missed a majority of this year
because
of an injury.
Even video games and
right.
not
Call
watching
Duty,
film, all that aside, he's a smaller quarterback, and he scrambles, and he seems to get injured a bit more than you would like, especially when you have to pay him that money. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back from the Sack Chat earlier in the show, a question was asked. If you turn off the game early, a shellacking like the Kings had last night, does it make you a bad fan? What is the line where we should feel like it's okay to turn off a game? And we really want to hear from you, the fans, 916-339-1140. When do you turn off the game? Are you guilty if you turn off a game? Or do you feel like, man, life is hard enough. I'm not watching this garbage. If they didn't show up, I'm not going to show up either. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. You know, it's a tough... it's a tough go for Kings fans today and also Raiders fans. And we will get to a texter, 916-339-1140, who is
the brother's
not happy.
Not
happy with us. I'm not really sure why. I think you just, Raider fans, they don't really know what they want to hear right now. And it's just a tough go for them. But before that, we want to give you an opportunity, thanks to Vieira Farms and Jiffy Lube. They have teamed up with Sacktown Sports for the holiday season to get you hooked up with a $100 gift certificate towards your perfect Christmas tree and a $100 gift certificate to winterize your vehicle at participating Jiffy Lube locations. Hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline right now and be lucky caller number. I was going to say by how much the Kings lost by, but you'd be calling all day long. Lucky number 6 to win those $100 gift certificates. Terms and conditions apply, and for more information, visit SacktownSports.com. 916-339-1140. 916-339-1140. Caller number 6. If you want to be a part of this winning opportunity, Simone will take care of you.
There you go.
Simone will take care of you. Okay, so last segment, and we don't talk about the Raiders a lot because they're not in the Bay Area anymore. So last segment, we talked Raiders because they are, according to Bill Barnwell, they will release Jimmy Garoppolo at the end of the season. They're going to owe Jimmy a lot of money, $35 million for 6 starts in a Raiders uniform, and $11.3 million of that figure is in guaranteed bonus that comes due next season. Vegas will have nearly $29 million in dead money for Garoppolo spread over the next 2 years on its cap. So we threw around names, Kyler Murray, and, you know, other quarterbacks, right, that the Raiders might be interested in. You have a Davante Adams. You have a Max Crosby. These guys are not spring chickens. I don't think they want somebody to grow with unless this guy is just going to be immediately good. And we have a texter. I'm not going to say where. I'm not going to say the area code yet. So this texter, I can't say all of it on these FCC airwaves. Basically, Kyler Murray is not going to be a Raider, one. And two, when Harbaugh comes, so this texter can read the future, he's going to get his own QB through the draft.
Okay.
You guys are speaking nonsense. Well, looking at the tankathon, the Raiders have the 12th pick in the draft right now. So
I think the texter there is saying that they're going to take quite literally Harbaugh's quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, at 12, is what the texter is saying. I just put that together. He's saying, he's going to take his own
when Harbaugh comes, he's also going to take J.J. McCarthy.
Yes.
Wow, that is some inside knowledge
that's deep,
there.
Man, yeah.
And when you ask, hey, Alan, what's that area code? Mm. The 925. You know who else has the 925 area code? Myself.
No. Oh.
That's so East familiar. Bay.
Yeah.
So we're going to say, you guys are speaking nonsense. Signed, a Salty Raider fan.
That's what it sounds like.
We hope you have a happy holiday, hey, Salty
man.
Raider
We're rooting
fan.
For you.
We are all rooting for you. We hope you get J.J. McCarthy wrapped under your Christmas tree or whatever you celebrate.
I hope Devontae likes that.
And Devontae as well. Because as a 28, 29, 30-year-old receiver, what else would I want other than a rookie quarterback?
Right.
As a Max Crosby who's been in the league, what else would I want? Yeah, give me that rookie quarterback. Awesome. That's what I want.
Not only a rookie quarterback, but like the fourth rookie quarterback taken in that draft.
I want, let's see here. You got Caleb Williams, Drake May. You have Jaden Daniels. Okay. I'm just looking here at Tankathon to see when J.J. McCarthy even pops up. So
He's
what are you going to take him?
19. Right now they have him projected at 19. I've seen some mock drafts that have him as high as, you know, top 10. Maybe.
They have him going to the Bucks.
Yeah.
This is just one. We're going to do all these different mock drafts, but I hope you get what you want, 925.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
I really do. All right. Had to just shout out the 925 right there.
Because
that's my phone too. Area code 925. We keep it live. That's what we do. Let's get to the Sack Chat. And Scooter 916 wanted to be a part of the conversation. Scooter is one of our P1s on the Sack Chat, and he asked this question, and we wanted to throw it to the fans as well. Styles and Watkins, I suffered through it with you guys at home. I was going to turn it off, talking about the Celtics-Kings game, but then I started questioning myself as a fan. Is that bad? So that was Scooter's question. We're going on to ask, is it okay to turn off the game? When is it okay? And are you a bad fan if you do? I'll go first here. I don't think you're a bad fan. And I have really struggled with the quote-unquote fair-weather fan stuff because I think life is hard. I think people got to pay bills. I think you only have so much time to enjoy with your friends, family, loved ones. And I don't think you should feel bad. My thing is, if the team didn't show up, you don't have to show up. That's how I feel. So, Scooter, I wouldn't feel bad about turning off the game because you might have, you know, we don't want anybody's eyes to hurt because that was pretty painful to watch.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you in lockstep completely. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with turning on the game. I would say definitely give your team a chance. Like, if it's entering the fourth quarter and you personally vibe-wise just don't feel like it's going to happen today. Mm-hmm. Like you said, like we barely get enough family time, and especially, you know, once you get off work, you know, you just want to relax and you go to the game to relax, to take your mind off of things, and then to just be more upset from getting that viewing experience. I definitely think that it's everybody needs to take that mental escape. I think that it's really healthy to turn off that. I mean, of course, it's healthy to turn off the TV in general, but like if the experience is only going to get you more and more upset, turn it off. Turn it off because it's just not worth you getting riled up over a team that, I mean, I don't mean this disrespectfully, but like the team doesn't care about you. They don't care about your feelings. You shouldn't care about, oh my gosh, will they not, you know, and they being the fans, will they view me as a fair weather fan? And do I have to watch every minute of every game? Do I have to be as informed as possible? No, you're good. Enjoy your life. And if you feel like watching this game is only making me more upset and more depressed or whatever word you want to use, yeah, turn that thing off because, it's only going to get worse for you.
Yeah, I think everybody...
Everybody's got a limit.
We don't police fandom on this show. And if you want to keep it on, keep it on. If you don't want to keep it on, don't keep it on.
I will say, though, don't be that over-emotional guy who's like, or person who's just like, oh, first quarter, terrible first quarter, oh, terrible first half, turn off the game, this is over, they always do this. Like, my only piece of advice would be, give your team a chance. Give your team as many, you know, as much of a chance as you're willing to give. But of course, everybody's got to draw a line. But
Third quarter,
yeah,
that third quarter. Well,
I would say by the end of that third quarter, I was more than willing to say, all right, this is not happening.
I started looking at my watch. Yeah. I started, all right, if I get out of here now, will Chris,
and it's like we
Chris
have to
judge
like,
me.
It's our, yeah, if anybody, it's us. Make us have to watch, and
yeah,
we'll fill you in if anything important happens. But you guys enjoy your family time, enjoy your free time, and just, I don't know, put on The Office or something instead.
Yeah, the fair weather fan thing, I think, is more
that's if
big
you like
picture.
Check out
too. Right. Yeah. That's big picture. I haven't been watching at all, and now it's playoff time or whatever. They get hot towards the end of the season, and now you're locked in. Yeah. That's more fair weather fan. If it's a case-by-case situation and, all right, they stink tonight, I'm not checking out. I mean, it's the same with me and the Giants in baseball. I mean, especially those 7
especially
o'clock starts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got 162 of them things?
That's the
I'm
thing.
Sorry,
There's another
man.
One tomorrow. It's just like
– I can't.
Sometimes you just got to chuck up the – just take the L. Sometimes
I can't.
You literally
You know, it's crazy
it.
How long some of these seasons are, if we're talking specifically baseball. I mean, if you look at the months, somebody could have a child, and that child could almost be walking by the end of the season.
Yeah.
It's insane. Definitely crawling.
Don't get me started. You don't want to get me started on the everything that I find wrong with baseball. But yeah, I mean, totally. Like it's, yeah. There's tons of different opportunities. Like even yesterday, if you would have turned off yesterday's game, well, guess what? You got another game tomorrow, and it's guess what? It's followed by another game the day after. So if you feel guilty about turning off the game. You know, there's tons of more opportunities to tune in. So no, I would never say that somebody shouldn't turn off the TV. Of course, unless you have people over. Don't be that guy.
No, you can't do that.
No, you can't do
that.
It's over.
What about? Yeah, it's a playoff game. And they just and that's the thing, and that's why people are worried. I mean, if you are not showing up like this, and we've talked about series where, oh, it went seven games, but none of the games were close.
Right.
You know what I mean? Was that a good series or not? And you just hope that you pick the right one, just as a lot of people, and I feel bad for all the fans, not just from last night. If you were a part of any of those four blowout losses at home, it's tough because you might not get an opportunity to go back. That was the other thing I was thinking. If you don't go to a lot of games, do you just wait it out and just try to enjoy the experience?
I always was a proponent of that. I think if you buy tickets to the game, you should try, if you can make it through it, I would always suggest making through it the entirety of the game. And that's more of just a value proposition. My thing is just like, I paid for these tickets. I pay for the entire four quarters of it. Unless, again, it's affecting my mental health, then I'm going to sit here and watch the game. But I also love the kiddos, basketball more than the
You got the kiddos,
start
squirming.
There's situations.
Daddy, how come they're not boxing out? How come they're not closing out on threes? I don't know, kiddo. Yeah. I wish I knew. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, Crosstalk, yes, it's time with Mr. Kyle Draper and Whitey Gleason of The Drive Guys. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Well, I guess we're having some technical difficulties here with sending it to break.
So. That's right. So we are going to work through those as we get ready for the Drive Guys.
Don't you love that, Simone?
Here's something.
Simone's fixing the problem.
Here's something.
Good on her.
Here's something.
What's up?
So I saw this, and the Pistons have lost.
Oh, my gosh.
24
yeah, what is it, 24
straight.
In a row now?
So will tonight be the night? When you look at the injury report.
I think I saw they were favored today.
So the Jazz injury, so Clarkson out, Keontae George out.
Okay.
THT, Talen Horton Tucker out, Lauri Markkanen out. All these guys are out. Will tonight be the night?
It's got to be, right? I mean, if you're a Pistons fan, you're not having many opportunities in which you feel like it's even remotely a possibility that you can – win a game. I mean, it's kind of, you know, of course, like we were just talking about the Kings game yesterday about how, you know, with Tatum out and everything like that, you just have to view that game as a must win. It feels like the Pistons have to view this as a must win because, you know, again, like when you're losing 24 in a row, you know, beggars can't be choosers. You got to take what you can get there. And even though nobody's healthy, I believe that game it's going to be in Detroit.
There you go.
Detroit
basketball.
The good people of Detroit hopefully can get a show. And I don't know if you've seen this, Whitey, or not, but Detroit has that Wingstop giveaway where every Pistons win, I think, they're giving away five free wings with every purchase in Detroit. And been a lot of uproar at the fact that nobody has been able to cash in any of those. So we're all thinking about you out there, the city of Detroit. Best of luck to you, and I hope those wings are extra special and extra crispy. That's all I got on the Pistons.
How much is their coach getting paid now?
Second most, I believe now. I believe $10 million, Monty, per year is getting paid. And
okay.
You know, we had some questions about that during the summer.
Yes.
It was a questionable decision. I of course, 2-25, like that's really not what you would expect to get. But like, what do you, he's already signed in. I think it was a 5 or 10. Long contract.
Yeah.
What do you hope to even get out of Monty? Like, what are you hoping Monty Williams is doing for this team? Is it really just incredibly foundational stuff of diving for loose balls and just making sure your mental's straight? Like, how do you,
all
do
we
you
want, Chris, all we want Monty to do is make Killian Hayes into a legend. That's all we want.
That's all?
That's it? All
okay.
We're asking.
Well, then, it's going to be a really, really long season. If the season hasn't been long enough for Detroit, if you're banking on Killian Hayes, you're going to be waiting a long, long time.
Whitey, I am very curious your thoughts on last night. I know you are normally pretty level-headed.
normally.
And I strive to be that one day. But today is not that day.
Hmm.
And I thought it was embarrassing. I thought it was not to go too far here, but at some point.
I thought you were getting to the point where you're going to be positive. I heard you say, okay, we're more than halfway through
the
show.
No, we did that. We did that, though. But now that we're talking to you, we want to get your take on it. And I'm not trying to, you know, overstate what happened last night, but you look at some of these numbers. We did the math here because why not? Without a calculator, by the way.
Wow.
Approximately 30%.
You know I'm great at math.
We know that, yes. Approximately 30% of the Kings games this season have been blowout losses.
Mm-hmm. They just can't guard people. I mean, I wasn't shocked. I didn't expect that to happen, but sitting there and seeing it unfold is like, oh, it's going to be like this. The Kings just can't compete with these guys. It's not that they don't want to. I know a lot of the talk is, how could you come out like that? And you got to have more pride. And I don't know that it's an issue of pride or your focus coming into the game. It's just they were overmatched by a much better team. And, you know, the Kings came out. What'd they score, 41 in the first quarter?
41, yep.
Yeah, and yet but they couldn't get stops. And against a good team like that, good night. They're just not capable right now consistently of getting stringing stops together. And so against a good team, you can't beat that team.
Should we put anything on the Celtics and that loss that they took against the Warriors? Because maybe on a different night, I mean, is it so much that, oh my gosh, I see everybody championship pedigree. I mean, Jason Tatum didn't even play. I mean, there are games, there's a reason that Peyton Pritchard hasn't been playing that much. Maybe these guys, they don't shoot as well. They shot extremely well last night. Maybe they don't shoot as well. And the Kings, even with that same defense, are able to hang around. Should we give, I guess what I'm saying is it all about the Kings? Or should we give some kudos to the Celtics for having a really good night shooting as well?
I think it's remarkable that the Celtics have worked in this year two guys with, you know, pedigrees. Maybe not. You know, maybe Jrue Holiday's not a superstar, but he's been an all-star. Mm-hmm. He's an excellent player. Then Porzingis. So you got a team with all these guys that have their reputations and are legitimate stars, and you bring in these two guys. Sometimes it takes a little while to figure it out, right? Mm-hmm. It didn't take them any time at all, which I think speaks to the way they play and how much they want to win. So then last night they're down one guy. They're down Tatum. And I don't think it was really that big of a problem for them to pick up the slack. The way they played, they were hyper efficient. I'm just a big Jrue Holiday fan too. The Kings don't have anybody like him, but very few teams do actually.
Well,
you need, he's going to do it.
Yeah. Well, a lot of he's a bit of a hybrid because a lot of these shutdown defenders that we talk about are the Vanderbilts and those wing type shutdown defenders. They're either Vanderbilt or they're GP2 or Davion Mitchell. Where Jrue Holiday is a little bit bigger than those guys. He's
strong.
He's not the same. So he's not as big as he can guard a wing,
he's like
obviously.
Frankie. I mean,
Frankie.
Yeah.
He's a 6'4 Frankie. Frankie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Frankie, you play against Frankie, you're going to feel it a little bit.
Did you play against Frankie?
In my mind?
You just imagine that's how Frankie plays.
I could see it.
That was the first comp that came to mind.
Frankie definitely. I'm going to save this for the Kings Roundtable next week. Frankie definitely takes charge. He's the guy who takes a charge in pickup.
Now you're taking shots at him. I was trying to say something nice about him.
I think Brendan would, personally.
Ah!
Brendan's definitely a cheap shotter, for sure. 1,000% Brendan, definitely a cheap shot.
To me, Alan, I understand all the angst, and it was frustrating and it was disappointing. But on the other hand, it's like, well, I guess that's just where it is. Maybe I just accepted it sooner because we knew that the Kings were flawed, and we didn't know how is it going to measure up. Really good team, got these flaws. Oh, unfortunately, it's like that now. It's unfortunate, but I don't feel like the Kings cheated me. I didn't end up with that kind of feeling.
What did you see yesterday, too? Because, you know, obviously the Celtics are on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah, it didn't look like it, did
Yeah,
it,
that's
Chris.
What I was going to say, right? Because it's been the story of all season long for the Kings that we should pretty much Saturday, we don't even need to play the game on Saturday against the Timberwolves because we know it's just going to be a loss because you're on the second night of a back-to-back. So it just has to be that way. I mean, was there anything you saw out of Boston of just, I mean, the fact that they were able to keep up, you mentioned 41 points for the Kings in the first. I think Boston had 38, so they didn't seem tired. Do you think there's anything that the Kings can try and take from Boston from what they did? Or, again, I mean, I think Alan kind of asked a version of this as well. Is this kind of on the Kings to put some pressure or to make Boston work for at least the first quarter, first half of the game to try and make them feel their legs, right?
Yeah, I don't know, but I hope there is, to your point, there's got to be a lesson in there for the Kings somewhere, right? When they're getting ready for Saturday, who knows what's going to happen Friday, but they got to, you know, if they start to feel at all, wow, tired or sorry for themselves, hey, look what that team just did to you on Wednesday night. So hopefully there's a learning opportunity there, but especially because the first quarter went at such a pace. Yeah. I thought, okay, well, this could work in the Kings' favor, but it never ended up spinning that way for them.
And from the coaching perspective, too, like we've seen tons of people on the chat and texting in, you know, starting to kind of put a little bit of this on Coach Brown. I don't feel like an effort like yesterday is Coach Brown's fault. I feel like his game plan was probably to score a lot in the early parts of the game, but I'm assuming he probably said, let's be fast on offense, but you know, draw it out and make them work on the defensive end, and it doesn't work. What have you thought about how Mike Brown has kind of approached a night like last night, but also, again, kind of the second nights of back-to-backs? Is that more on coaching, or does that kind of does the responsibility shift a little bit more towards coaching in those back-to-back and gotta-have-it game situations? Or, again, is that also Mike Brown kind of put the ball back in the players' court yesterday by saying, I need some internal leadership, which we talked about all summer long on how Mike Brown was harping about that.
Didn't you guys think it was interesting that one of the first things Mike Brown said after the game was, he kicked my butt?
Yep. How many times has he said that?
That's what I'm saying, honestly.
Yeah.
We've heard it, though.
Uh-huh. But I do think there was something to that. Boston made the necessary adjustments. And I just think, to a degree, Mike Brown's banging his head against a brick wall. It's like, we got to be more physical. You know, we got to hold each other accountable. And this team is so limited defensively. I think it's a tall ask, man. I think there's going to be a lot of nights where they're not going to be able to give you what you're asking for. But I understand they got to continue to work on it.
Yeah, and to that point, how many times too when coaches are making points like that? Sometimes they're not talking to media. Sometimes they're not talking to fans. Sometimes they're not even talking to their team. Sometimes Mike Brown needs to continue to say the same thing over and over in press conferences because you got to make a message to your GM too, where it's like, I'm doing what I can with the pieces I have, but I just feel like we're getting our butts kicked. Like, at the end of the day, the guys that we're putting out there, I'm trying to put the best combination, but you saw, I mean, I threw JaVale out there. I threw Trey Lyles. I threw Sasha. I think even he admitted that he thought JaVale, the unit with JaVale gave them the best minutes. But at some point it's like, I'm throwing everybody out there and I'm not seeing Boston beats us by 10 with this group, but they beat us with 20 with that. Like, you know, at some point, I think he's trying to prove a message as well.
And Derek White's a lot better than we thought, right?
Yeah. Mazzulla said, I mean, he's playing like all-star right now. He might get to that all-star level. I'm just sitting here looking at the numbers, and obviously they're a bit skewed because the Kings couldn't hang on. But really, if you had pushed them, who knows, maybe if you had just hung around with the Celtics, which sounds crazy because the Celtics are the ones traveling back-to-back and played overtime the night before. Mm. You have Jaylen Brown, who played 41 against the Warriors, and then only he played 29. So if you could have got him to that high 35, if you kept it close, you probably do get that W. Porzingis was fresh. He didn't play the night before. You had Derek White, who played 40 minutes against the Warriors and then went on to play again 29 because they were able to power through and everybody called off the dogs. You had Pritchard, who played 19 and then played 29, right? And he probably got some of those garbage minutes at the end. So and then Al Horford didn't play. So a couple guys, Hauser, 21 the night before, and then he played 35 last night again, garbage time. So those two guys, I would say, or three guys, Jaylen, Drew, and Derek, who were really driving it. Mm-hmm. Porzingis and his thing, fine, but if you could have got those guys later in the game, maybe you see a little bit, the threes be a little bit short or something like that, which just wasn't the case. Whitey, I did want to ask you, and obviously we are the flagship, nothing but love for the Kings, and we
hope doesn't sound
no,
good.
No, no,
there's a butt coming.
No, and we hope to have, you know, some of the Kings on these here airwaves. We keep asking, and we're hoping that will eventually
happen. Want me to ask for you? Is that what you're
please
asking?
Okay. Well, we can talk to Kyle Draper as well. I know you guys get guys on the show. We know we are the bad boys of the midday. We're trying to get
you're the tag team.
We are.
There it is.
We are, exactly. We should play that as well.
Are we doing too much if we were a bit, maybe you heard us talking about it earlier or not, are we doing too much when we say that we didn't love Keon Ellis drawing the short straw to speak after a game like that? Is that a nothing burger, or should that have been somebody else besides Keon? Because it rubbed me the wrong way.
Why, you thought somebody who was more responsible should have gone or something?
Somebody that is not a two-way player, yeah.
Uh-huh. I think it kind of stemmed from the fact that Mike Brown's been talking a lot about internal leadership and you know, the voice coming from within the team. And on a night where you arguably have your worst loss of the season, to send out the two-way guy, like we said, we don't know the ins and outs of how those things are selected, but it just felt a little wrong, and a little, you know, it just kind of felt like, none of us really want to go talk to the media. Let's go send the youngest guy out
right.
there.
We don't know how it happened, yeah. but it shouldn't have happened.
Hmm. I didn't have an issue with it. I mean, because also.
And guys spoke today. I will say in the yeah. Kings defense today at practice, they did get De'Aaron Fox. I believe they also got Harrison Barnes as well today at practice. So
yeah,
there is that as well.
I'm good with it. I'm good with Keon Ellis. I understand what you're saying, but I'm okay. Yep.
All right. Whitey.
Yeah.
Drive Guys up next.
Yeah.
Whitey Gleason.
How about that?
Kyle Draper. Thank you for listening to
Protect
Styles and Watkins.
Score, Whitey.
Protect your box score. He's
coming for
he's
it.
He's coming after them. Thank you for listening to Styles and Watkins. Thank you to Simone. Until tomorrow, secure the bag, light the beam.